Welcome to Cryptopreneurs Radio, brought to you live by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Cryptopreneurs Radio is a community of entrepreneurs who strive to affect change and increase the public acceptance of cryptocurrency. We are the miners, entrepreneurs, and innovators getting involved in the evolution of digital currencies. Now, here's your host, Tony Gambone and Linda Ballesteros.
All right, well, welcome to the show. Super, super excited about a new show we're launching today. It's so good to be back in the studio with my co-host, Linda Ballesteros. Linda, I'm super excited about today. I just can't stop it. I even told you in the beginning, pre-show, I'm actually a little nervous today.
Yeah, Tony, I was a little surprised because you've done a few radio shows over the last seven or eight years, but this one is really exciting for both of us because it is something that's cutting edge, and it's a great way for us to reach an audience with some education, and that's what we've always been about, is educating our listeners.
Yeah, and, a little bit about what we're doing with Cryptopreneur Radio. A lot of people don't even know what cryptocurrency is. You and I are just getting the education in the last couple months ourselves. And we both know that when you and I want to learn something, we take it to the air and bring on experts. So our plan with this show is to bring on an expert every week, someone who's authored a book, who is considered an expert. And today we have a great guest, a best-selling author in this arena. Okay, but we're going to bring on people that are going to be able to explain more about cryptocurrency, what it is it the future, is it a fad, just exactly what it is. And that's what's so exciting about today, because Tom McMurrin has written a book that really describes a lot of different things that has happened in my lifetime. I know I'm a little older than you, Linda, I'm going to be 60, but, as a boomer, we've seen a lot of things come along, and as an ex-banker, you've seen things happen in the process as well. So I'm really excited about this.
Yeah, definitely. And, Tony, what's funny is when I started reading Tom's book, and we'll certainly give him an opportunity to talk about that, the seventh disruption, I started thinking about disruptions, and there have been a lot of disruptions in my life as a baby boomer, and I think our audience will probably see that they've seen the disruptions as well. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, and so here's what I want to do. I just want to get all the information out, take a little commercial break, and come back. I want to spend as much time with Tom as we can. So here's how this is going to work. Everyone knows that you can find us on Tough Talk Radio Network. You can go to cryptopreneursradio.com and find us. You can find us on social media anywhere. So you type in Linda Ballesteros or Tony Gambone or Tough Talk Radio Network, you will be able to find us. Friend us. Let's get together with everything and learn. Now, what I want you to do is grab a piece of paper and a pencil, fill up your coffee cup, get a bottle of water. This is something you're not going to want to walk away from. You want to take notes. You're going to be able to meet a gentleman today that has been in this currency market for a few years, okay? And, a lot of people might have heard of Bitcoin, and a lot of people might not have. But I can tell you, after today's interview, what's going to happen is you're going to look at things a little bit differently, you're going to get a little bit more educated, and you're going to be able to dig in deeper and learn more because, that's just what happens here on the Tough Talk Radio Network. So we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to bring up Tom McMurrin. So we'll be right back.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, Now, welcome back. As I mentioned, I really am excited about today's show launch, CryptoPreneursRadio.com, as you can find out more about that. But CryptoPreneurs is a title that we came up with because the digital currency, the cryptocurrency, the world is changing. And, you know, as there becomes more entrepreneurs in the world every day, this is, I thought, would be a way for people to understand how they could maybe invest a little bit differently in their own business. So here's what I want to do. First of all, I want to welcome Tom to the show. Tom, welcome to the show.
Hey, great to be here, Tony. Linda, it's my pleasure. Looking forward to this this conversation about cryptocurrency.
So, Tom, now, you know, I've had the pleasure of following you at a couple different areas. And, you know, one is your book. I mean, I believe, are in the marketing business for a little bit of time. And so let's do this. I want people to know a little bit more about you, where you're calling in from, and how you came to where you are today as best-selling author. You just didn't start yesterday in doing this. There's been a process that led you down a road that brought you to this knowledge that made you decide to get deeper into it. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Sure, I'd be glad to. Number one, I'm dialing in from the booming metropolis of Palmetto, Georgia, kind of out in the sticks just outside of Atlanta. We live on about a 300-acre farm with my family. I've got three kids that are teenagers and lots of animals, and have just kind of grown up, enjoying the country air. But I got my start back in internet publishing in 96. I got involved in the internet in 91. And it was funny because I wake up every day and I tell my wife, I said, I feel like it's 1991 again. I said, I'm running around telling people about digital currency, and they're looking at me like I'm from Mars. And it's the same thing, you know, with the internet. We were running around telling people how they could put their businesses online, and there were people who said, I'll never put my business online. People will steal my company information. And the amount of ignorance or lack of education, for a better word, was rampant with the internet, much like it is with digital currency. But I got into internet publishing in 96. I partnered with some guys, and they published a book called Escape from America. And it was during a time when everybody was kind of, you know, concerned about the economy, and it, very similar to the way it is now. And the book got downloaded 100,000 times. And ultimately, here we had this list of emails, and we're like, okay, what should we do with these? And then we just started publishing articles online about exotic travel destinations, and we kind of mistakenly got into the online publishing business, didn't even realize what we were doing. But that was built into a top 1% website in the world with over 1 million unique visitors a month, and we have a subscriber base of over 500,000 readers on that. Spent 17 years really just introducing people to new areas, to new ideas, like Belize and Costa Rica, and we put Costa Rica on the map. We put Panama on the map. I mean, when you have 12 million people a year coming to your website, you can affect change in any small tourist destination, and we very much did that. But it introduced me to a lot of, I don't want to say radical people, but people that were on the cutting edge. I mean, people that want to get up and move away from a country and do something, they're a little bit more radical than, you know, say, the average person who wakes up in America. And so I was just introduced to a different group of people. We had a different view on life. It was kind of a live where you want to live, live how you want to live, and make money doing it kind of mentality. And, you know, just seeing where cryptocurrency is now, I got in it in 2010, bought my first cryptocurrency. Back when there really wasn't e-wallets, I mean, there was blockchain, but you essentially had to write down your serial numbers or save them on your hard drive. And if you lost your hard drive, you lost your money. And so it's a lot different now today because we have, you know, cloud-based wallets and things like that. We've seen it evolve. But my background, I didn't graduate from college. I was probably most likely voted not to be in class in high school, but I've always been really attuned to cutting-edge information. And when I, you know, get on something, I researched the heck out of it. But I did real well on Bitcoin, bought some coins. Unfortunately, I only bought $500 worth at $7, but it ended up in about, a $29,000 payday when we sold out at 438. And I watched it grow, and I was amazed that it actually worked. My wife thought I flushed $500 down the toilet, and we, you know, ended up working out. I was a genius a couple of years later in her eyes. I love cryptocurrency. I love anything that's cutting edge. I love anything that gives people freedom or autonomy from, say, government or, you know, a central authority. I think people deserve freedom. We fought for freedom in the United States, and I kind of feel like we're losing that. I feel like digital currency is a path back to, you know, the freedoms that we once enjoyed. So that's a little of my background. I went in feet first with cryptocurrency, and I've just learned about it, taken some risks, lost some money, made some money, and I just see it as a field that it's very similar to 1991. I'd say we're at 1993 right now in comparison to the internet, right when AOL came out and started simplifying everything. I think people are really getting on board with this because there's some companies that have kind of made it PayPal simple. They're making it easier for people to do the functions of cryptocurrency. But I think at the end of the day, when people do their first transaction, they have this epiphany. They're like, wow, that wasn't so painful. But I tell everybody getting into this space, you really need to have tough skin, because you're going to run up against the Aunt Marthas of the world that are going to say, oh, you need to stay away from that. I researched that on the internet, and that's bad. And, you know, it's like the internet. They all thought we were drug dealers. They thought we were hackers. They thought we were money launderers in the very beginning when we started telling people about putting in HTTP, you know, into a browser. It wasn't even a browser at the time. But that's a little background on me. I'm just a basic guy, and I love freedom. I have a yearning for freedom. And again, my motto is live where you want to live how you want to live, and create wealth doing it. And I'm finding a lot of people like that motto.
Well, Tom, I'm going to absolutely ditto what Tony said. We're really excited about having you here because you are an expert in a very cutting-edge industry, and so cutting-edge that, you know, like you said, many people don't even know what digital currency is. They've never heard of Bitcoin, but it doesn't mean that it's not going away. I've got a huge – I spent 30 years in banking, and so I can certainly see evolution going on here. And like you, it just seems like that's the next step. There has to be something to make that change, and it's the disruption that you call it. So talk to me a little bit about how you came up with the idea of the seventh disruption, and what are the other disruptions? I know you've kind of mentioned a few of those, but just for the listeners' sake, what are some of those other disruptions that they may be able to relate to?
Well, I mean, if you're listening to this call, you know, you definitely know what TV. TV was a major disruption for theaters and events, and it evolved into a multi-trillion-dollar industry. We know the internet was a disruption. There's a lot of newspapers around the world. I don't know. I mean, it was early enough as, you know, late 90s. Newspapers were laughing at the internet, saying they'll never take our business. And there's a lot of printing presses around the world that are sitting idle right now. We know mobile is disrupted a lot. I mean technology platforms that have allowed companies to spawn off of that technology platform. Certainly e-commerce, we see what Amazon is doing to Walmart and all the retailers around the world. Amazon, I think this year, surpassed Walmart in market capitalization. So social media has obviously been a major disruption for dating sites for Madison Avenue. A lot of people don't really think about it, but social media has disrupted Madison Avenue because so many more people are advertising online. So I think it's important to understand. I had somebody email me the other day, and they said, dude, our health product is disruptive. And I said, well, tell me the value chain that it breaks in mm-hmm. a business cycle that causes the disruption. And you know, when you think about a disruption, Linda, you've been in the banking industry. So if I came to you and said, Linda, I have a technology that eliminates the need for banks. You know, I have a technology where people can actually transfer money to each other without the need of a bank. What would your initial response to me be?
Well, I would want to know, tell me more about that. And also, people out there don't realize that banks are not just about money. You know, that's not, you know, there are a lot of other products that a bank provides for their consumer that is not about cashing a check. So I would also want to know, what other areas would that impact my products that I offer as a bank?
Sure, sure. Yeah, and you're right. There's investment products, insurance products. I mean, banks have gotten mm-hmm. into the whole gamut of things. But the issue that I'm presenting with you is, you know, and if whether you're MoneyGram or your Western Union, you know, when somebody's main or core revenue stream of transactional income gets attacked, you know, where people, and it'll take decades for, you know, really for this to happen. It's kind of like the music industry. I think you all remember when Napster, the music sharing site, came out. People were able to basically illegally, there wasn't any legislation for it, so it technically wasn't legal at the time, or where there was no ruling on it, but peer-to-peer sharing of music took down an entire industry. And it took a while, and yeah, Napster lost in court, but at the same time, the music industry landscape was completely turned upside down, and today the music industry is Clear Channel, Live Nation, and iTunes. iTunes was kind of like the AOL that came in and simplified everything and made the business model modern. But as it relates to banking, you know, when I can transact business directly with people and don't have to pay a fee, or I don't have to worry about somebody holding my money. I mean, look at the people in Greece. I mean, the people in Greece dealt with a massive downturn in their economy, and they were given financial controls. And banks, having that nine-tenths of the law element to them, they control your money. If the government says they can only pass out, you know, $50 a day to each account holder, well, nine-tenths of the law, that one-tenth becomes a real issue. And I think what is appealing to digital currency, in cryptocurrency in general, is there, it's 10-tenths of the law. You control the money. You own it. So nobody could put currency controls on you. So there's a lot of benefits to digital currency, but when you attack an industry's one of their core revenue streams, which is transactional transfer income, wire income, the fees earned. Now certainly banks make money off of CDs. They make money off of borrowing money technically from people, paying them interest. But when people start realizing that they can put money in cryptocurrency and it increases in value, they may say, wow, I don't really have a need for that 3% a year you're paying me. And, you know, I've seen cryptocurrencies, you know, go up thousands and thousands of percent, like Bitcoin, OneCoin has been very popular lately, PureCoin, Litecoin. There's probably a dozen coins out there that, you know, personally, what I'm doing is I'm just dollar cost averaging, and I'm buying a little bit of it every month of each currency. I've got about 12 currencies in my portfolio right now, and I just look at it as another place to invest my money, and kind of like the internet back in '91. We were looking for places to place money, and we found companies that made sense. Some of them went under, and some of them made us a ton of money. But that's where we are with digital currency right now. It is attacking and let me explain something. The technology is not Bitcoin. The technology that's attacking the banking industry is not Bitcoin. It's not actually the currency. It's the underlying software that's running on about 40 million computers around the world. I mean, when Satoshi Nakamoto published his white paper back in 2008 and said, I can create a peer-to-peer electronic currency that can be transferred between two people without the need of a middle person, the world laughed at him. And then he produced a software and uploaded it anonymously to the internet, and that internet, it spread like Napster. I mean, it spread all over the world, and today 40 million computers are running this peer-to-peer software, and it's like a web. It's a transactional. It's a web of transactional software. Where, let me give you an analogy. the mobile service that runs your telephone. That's like the blockchain. That's the software that everybody's been uploading to their computers. The apps that you run on your phone, those are like the currencies. So like Bitcoin, Litecoin, Purecoin, there's some escrow-type apps out there if you want to do escrow arrangements with people. People are building apps on top of this blockchain software. So the blockchain software is definitely the disruptive technology, and it just doesn't affect it affects any organization that uses a middle person for a transaction. And so,
you know, Tom, one of the things that kept me away from digital currency when I first heard about Bitcoin was exactly what you're describing. It was way too technical for me.
Yeah.
It wasn't something that my brain could wrap around, or nor did I even want it to.
Yep.
So for the person that's out there and they're thinking, I don't even understand what he just said. I don't know what blockchain is. I don't understand mining. Has the industry changed since Bitcoin first came out, when you almost had to be a computer engineer to understand this, having special equipment and software to run all of the special software that had to find these Bitcoins and the blockchain and all? Has it changed since it first launched?
Yeah, it definitely has. I mean, the first mover was Bitcoin. And if you know anything about technology, Bitcoin, we classify, if you read the research reports, it's basically a 35-year-old white computer hacker is the profile of Bitcoin. And it's interesting to look at the dynamics now of some of the new companies that have, you know, when the Internet, and by the way, you said the same thing about the Internet, and the people that you're talking about said the same thing about the Internet when it first came out. I don't understand HTTP. Mm-hmm. I don't understand HTML. I don't. Internet actually is more complicated in the beginning than I think digital currency is. There was just a lot more to it, because when we accessed the Internet early on, we had to put in gateways and IP addresses and submasks, right, and all these digits, these, you know, 12-digit long with periods between them, and we had to use these special, you know, dialog boxes to log in through, and then AOL came out. And I know that you all remember the CD-ROMs in all the magazines. They were in anywhere you were in the world, you could get a CD-ROM for AOL. And, you know, when they came out with that, what AOL did is they simplified it for the average person. So the first mover, so that bumped off CompuServe, it bumped off Netscape, it bumped off a lot of Internet providers that did not make it user-friendly. So the answer to your question, short answer, is yes, it is a lot easier. You don't need complicated servers. You don't have to buy video cards. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to know hash rates or anything like that. If you look at the PayPal platform compared to some of the new platforms that are out there, PayPal allows you to transfer money, let's just call it value instead. PayPal allows you to transfer value between two parties. It allows you to transfer value between your own bank account and your online wallet, let's call it. It allows you to get a credit card, PayPal does, and be able to transact business with your credit card so you can access your value. And, you know, when you look at the new platforms that are coming out with Bitcoin and some of the digital currencies, they do the exact same thing. If you and I are on the same platform, I can send money to you, you can send it to me, money to me. And it's, you know, it's the same thing. So, yeah, it is a lot easier now. And as far as mining, you know, a lot of people don't understand that concept, but it really is not hard to understand. I mean, when you think about, I'm going to give you two analogies, two examples. First, of course, is the gold mining example. You know, there's the people who go out in the hills and they pan the gold and they find the gold veins and they reap, they become multimillionaires by supplying the gold to the, say, the jewelry industry or the, you know, the smelting industry, and then they turn it into, you know, into jewelry. So gold, from the time it's mined, the miners, the prospectors, let's call them, they are the ones that are bringing the value into circulation in the general public in the form of jewelry or money or gold ingots. Another good example would be the land developer who buys raw land, and he has to go out and put in some infrastructure, and he takes a piece of raw land and he turns it into value by making it available for people to build homes on it and for builders to buy his lots. And developers, they take a little bit more of the risk in the beginning, just as the prospectors do with gold mines. They have to invest a lot up front, but in the end, they get probably rewarded better than anybody in the cycle. Now, mining coins is when you actually put in paid-in capital or energy. If you're using servers, you know, if you have a server farm and you are that type of person, you're actually putting in energy. Of course, you're paying for that energy to extract coins from a mathematical, let's just call it a safe. So there's a safe out there that you've got to crack with your servers. And those coins, when you get them, you're getting them at a wholesale, and you're moving them into the general marketplace at a retail value. So miners, just like land developers, just like prospectors, are rewarded for bringing value, the initial value, into the marketplace. And sometimes it's simple. Linda is putting digits into a box and hitting enter, all the way to as complicated as setting up a server farm and mining coins that way. So the spectrum can be very complicated or it can be very easy. It just depends on which platform you decide you want to pursue as a consumer. I'm assuming most people are going to lean towards the simpler side.
Mm-hmm. Tony, I know that you've been listening,
yeah.
And I know that you've got some questions as well.
Well, first of all, there's a couple things I want to say, but I want to make sure that everyone knows our switchboard is lit up. So if you have a question and you're listening by phone, okay, you can press number one on your phone, and that'll show the switchboard that there's a question that someone wants to ask. Number two is, if you're listening to us on air and you want to send us a message through email, you can just go to tony@tonygambone.com or hit me on Facebook or on Twitter, okay? So there's a lot of people. I'm really, really super excited. Tom, one of the things that you said that made me open my eye up and listen was, you know, the people were betting that you might not even complete high school. I was right there, maybe in a different room, but same school. So one of the things that I was learning about cryptocurrency was I didn't know anything. And first time I heard about it was through someone like yourself who started talking about mining and blockchain and this, and I was like, whoa, that's a lot of information. I really am not understanding that. So I want to try to dumb this down a little bit for the people like myself that are out there listening, okay, so they can understand. Cryptocurrency, digital coin or Bitcoin or OneCoin, the things that you mentioned, it's not actually a coin that you hold in your hand, right?
That's right. It's a serial number.
Okay. And I've done a little homework on you, and people can learn more about that by searching you out. They can go to digitalcoinmillionaire.com and get a copy of your book, or to the 7thDisruption.com. Cool stuff. I know a little bit more about that now. But along the way, I listened to you talk about Bitcoin when it first came out, and you know it reminded me of the conversations I have with my wife when she looks at me like I've lost my mind. Talk about that for the listeners so that they know that you know you just didn't one day jump out of bed and say, "Oh, I figured it all out." Can you take them on that ride?
Yeah. I mean, it's Andreas Antonopoulos, one of my mentors. He's one of the speakers and lead speakers in Bitcoin and one of the premier thought leaders of digital currency. He said it's better experienced than explained. So one thing I'll urge everybody to do is we have a little activity that we do with people. We say go to blockchain.info and set up an e-wallet. Just go to create a new wallet. All you have to do is provide an email address and then verify the email address. And they will set you up an e-wallet for free. They're not going to ask you for social. They're not going to ask you for any sensitive information. But set up a e-wallet, and then what we do, if you'll send us your e-wallet number, your account number, we'll put a dollar into your account and then give you a video on how to go send that dollar to United Way. United Way is the largest acceptor of Bitcoin for charities in the world. And so we show people how to do a transaction. And that's really the best way to explain it to people. You know, if you start talking about mathematical algorithms and extracting blocks of coins and hash rates, you absolutely confuse people. But I heard a guy, Carl Wilt, one time say in a conference, he said, "Do you know how a brown cow eats green grass and produces white milk and yellow cheese?" And if you can't answer that question, but you still eat milk or drink milk and eat cheese, I think you get what I'm saying here. So there are some things people still use the dollar, but they don't quite know how the dollar comes into the existence with the federal bond offerings on Thursday and how all that happens. But the most important thing that you need to understand is Bitcoin or digital currency allows you to conduct, number one, it allows you to own a currency that can appreciate in value versus depreciate in value, which is what the dollar has done over the last 70 years. It's lost 93% of its value. A gallon of milk is not $5. It just requires $5 to buy it. And so when you think about what people really ought to be focused on is what are the benefits to owning, why should I mine digital currency? And what are the benefits to that? And I don't know if I'm answering your question, but it's when I got involved, I just did it. I just opened. I went to an exchange and I bought some coins. I said, at the time they were cheap. They were $7. Today they're $450. But you don't have to buy a whole coin. You know, these coins can be fractionalized into millions. So if you want a tenth of a Bitcoin, you can buy a tenth of a Bitcoin for $45. But it's something you have to experience. It just says, you know, hey, I got $45 to burn, or I got $50 to learn. It's like when you first put it in, it's just part of your educational process. You're paying for tuition by going out there and actually doing it. And that's what I did. And then when I saw Fiverr, I started using Bitcoin for Fiverr and paying my subcontractors with Bitcoin. And then I found a website called GYFT.com. And I found out I could buy gift cards I could buy Whole Foods gift cards, Walmart gift cards, Best Buy gift cards. And you'd say, well, Tom, why don't you just use money instead? Well, I'll give you a really great example. I paid for my Christmas with Bitcoin. Back when Greece was getting ready to falter in March, I looked at my wife and I said, you know, we ought to plunk a little bit of money into Bitcoin because I think it's going to go up. And it was at 210 at the time. And we put about $5,000 in, and next thing you know, come Christmas time, our account had doubled in value, and so the extra $5,000 that we had, we were able to use for Christmas gifts. And so I tell people, I say, do you need any other reason to understand, you know, why you should take a look at digital currency? But I learned it by just doing it, and today I do between 5 and 10 transactions a week. If I'm consulting with somebody, I gladly accept Bitcoin or Purecoin or Litecoin, Dogecoin, I'll accept that one as well, and OneCoin I'll certainly accept as well. So I just got into the space and said, you know, my value of my digital currency business has been increasing every year, whereas my dollar-based business has been decreasing every year.
Mm. So you mentioned OneCoin. And I have been becoming a student of cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, and as you mentioned, Bitcoin is over $400-some a coin, and the OneCoin is at a lower rate, and I believe it's in under $5 a coin. So it gives the opportunity for the everyday person to learn more about it and get involved in it at a lesser, you know, cost. A cheaper education, right? But OneCoin has done something a little bit different on it. And, of course, every one of these companies I look up on the Internet, there's a scam reports written on all this. And so it always seems funny because people are writing things. And when you do enough research, you find out that the people that are writing things are competition of others. And it goes on in our world. I mean, just listen to the debate, right? But the thing of it is How do you feel about OneCoin taking it to the network marketing side of things?
Well, I think it, you know, anytime you get into network marketing, you know, network marketing is prolific around the world. In the United States, it's a little bit more regulated and it's a little bit more risky, especially in the financial markets. But OneCoin has definitely cracked the code on how to educate the masses where Bitcoin has not. Bitcoin has been a very, you know, very niche community of, like I said, highly literate computer experts, and it's kind of scared away, you know, the Joneses, the Billy Bobs of you know, South Georgia, who are, you know, they're like, I don't understand all that stuff. Whereas OneCoin has kind of simplified it and said, oh, very simple. You know, we want you to purchase an educational package, and from there we're going to teach you how to do mining. And the mining's real simple. You just you get some bonus tokens that come with your packages, and you know, next thing you know, you're mining. You know, no expensive computer equipment to put together. And I think the Bitcoin community, there's an arrogance about them that they kind of like the fact that you have to be technical. And OneCoin's kind of take an Apple-esque approach. I look at their owner, Dr. Ruscha Ignatova. She's brilliant. I mean, I mean, people can look up her resume and know that this lady's very, very legit. She's doctorates in law from Oxford. She's got a master's in finance. She comes out of McKinsey as a partner. They don't hire you at McKinsey unless you're in the top 1% of your class. So that alone was an important factor to me. And I talk about her in my presentations because she's the AOL of the internet. She's the AOL of digital currency. She came along, she looked at what Bitcoin did wrong, and she built a community 3 times larger than Bitcoin in less than 14 months. And I'll tell you, every currency I look at to invest in, I want to know how they are taking it to the masses. So and this is a really good tip for any of you that are looking at the Bitcoin space or the digital currency space to invest in currency. How, like, let's give a good example. Amazon, we know Amazon's got a coin, but it's pretty much just for their Kindle. But if Jeff Bezos came out and said, we've created our own cryptocurrency, sign up for an Amazon Prime membership, and we'll give you the ability to mine our coins, I'd be all over that in a second. Why? Because Amazon's got massive reach, massive trust factor, and we know that people are going to adopt it, and we know Amazon's going to do a really good job servicing it, and they're well respected in the space. They have a high reputation factor. So I look for you can be the greatest guy in the world and come out with a coin and be the smartest person in the room, but if you don't have a way to gain mass distribution or mass awareness, nobody's going to use your coin. And that's one thing that network marketing does, is it is a people-to-people business, which is kind of fits with the same model of digital currency. Digital currency is peer-to-peer, which is the same thing as people-to-people. And so I think it's really good. I know that, you know, the FTC and the whole internet marketing space is becoming highly regulated. And I don't know why. I don't know if the FTC just doesn't have anything else to go after, but they've been very critical of the industry. And I think when you combine finance and network marketing, OneCoin, the one thing they're going to have to do is they're going to have to be in compliance. Because that's the highest risk with any network marketing company that's dealing in digital currency. And they have gone through, I know they're going through the licensing process of getting their registrations in the United States and all of that. And I think if they can do business in here, they're already doing business all around the world in like 190 countries, but this will be their greatest test. And it'll be adopted by the community very quickly here because they've got quite a business model.
So, Tom, I have a question on our board here, so I'm going to bring up a gentleman who he's actually hit me on Facebook and on the thing. He's excited to ask you a couple questions. So if you're up for that, let's bring him up.
Awesome.
Mike, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, your question for Tom is?
Well, I wanted to just inquire for filing purposes, when you do make a profit, is when do you have to declare it on tax filings? Currently, since it's not an official commodity in the U.S. and the MasterCard is coming soon, when your coins are in a coin state with a value, you're able to spend them. How is the cost basis from where you bought in the education package tied to the tokens, converted to coins, in a price set that if the thing goes up, let's just say doubles.
Yeah.
And
I don't want to interrupt here, but hold on 1 second. I think what you're talking about is one coin, and I don't want to go deep into the process of one coin on the show today, but I just want to keep it to digital currency. Tom, if you have a fast way of answering that, I know that people are always asking what happens at the end of the year with your taxes if you make money on something.
Yeah, no, I think it's when you think of it, number one, I'm not a tax expert, so I'm not going to give you an official tax opinion on the answer, but it actually is. You said something. You said it's not classified as a commodity. It actually is classified as a commodity, so the tax rulings would apply to commodities. Your basis, is, of course, would be at what you purchased of that, and if you sold it and realized a profit, it would be based on a commodity. And I don't know if the long-term capital gains and short-term capital gains apply to that. You'll have to get with a tax expert. I do know the answer, but I'm not going to say it on radio because I'm not a tax expert. But I would say when you go to your account, you can say, this is what I acquired it at. And if you have sold it, you will have to declare the price at which you sold it at, and the difference between what you purchased and what you sold it at will become your overall profit and determine your tax rate. But it is actually classified as a commodity in the United States. Just to expand on that a little bit, it's classified as a currency in Europe. The High Court just classified it as a currency, and in Australia it's classified as a currency. I think the reason they classified it as a commodity in the United States is because they know they're going to attract a lot of the trading platforms. A lot of the trading platforms around the world has kind of been the weakness of Bitcoin. You had Mt. Gox that went out of business based on fraud. There's been a whole bunch of exchanges that have gone under and taken people's Bitcoins with them. Well, the United States is a trusted financial capital, and I think what the United States is doing is they want to attract all of the exchanges like Gemini. You know, the Winklevoss brothers who started Facebook with Zuckerberg, they just opened the first licensed exchange, basically a NASDAQ of digital currency, not limited just to Bitcoin. They can trade any digital currency on their exchange. But I think what the U.S. is saying is we will be glad to oversee all of the exchanges that want to come here, but they have to be licensed. And, of course, when you think of that chain of command, if you have an exchange, you got to have brokerage companies. And if you have brokerage companies, you got to have customers. Well, the U.S. in that command, that chain of command, can say, okay, if you're an exchange, you have to be licensed. If you're a brokerage company, you have to follow KYC compliance rules. And if you're a customer doing business with that brokerage, you're going to have to provide your financial information, which ultimately allows the U.S. to send you a what? You know, a tax form. So, you know, I think what the U.S. is saying is we are going to become the capital of cryptocurrency exchanges in the world, and people will be more attracted to cryptocurrency because our financial markets, our exchanges, are very well trusted here, more so than in China, Asia, I mean, anywhere in the world. Certainly the U.K. is doing the same thing. They're actually following suit. They just passed legislation that are requiring all exchanges to be registered. And I got to tell you what, the exchange where people can buy and sell cryptocurrency is very, very important. It's got to have a high level of credibility for people to know that when they have digital currency, that they can take it to an exchange and sell it and get their money. And whereas it used to be in the past, I remember when I sold my first currency, I sold it on a Japanese exchange, and I didn't know if I was going to get my money. You know, and the average person from South Georgia would be like, I got to send my money to Japan to get it. You know, that's just not going to work. So
Tom, let me just ask you this. You've talked about digital currency and the other countries that are using it, and, of course, it's being accepted more and more in the U.S. How do you see regulation? I know you mentioned the KYC, know your customer, but how do you see regulation playing a part in this? And if it's seen as a true industry, which it certainly is now, is it going to be regulated more in the U.S.? Do you see that there's going to be more of an international regulatory system?
I think it's going to be just like the current financial markets, Linda. I think as long as they can tax it and they know who's mm-hmm. trading it, the rest is
yep.
no different. I mean, all cryptocurrency does is increases people's wealth and gives people the ability to buy more. They want to try and prevent fraud. That's kind of the government's
right.
job is to prevent people from getting hurt and making bad decisions. But in the same realm, they want to know how they can tax it. And I've heard a lot of the comptroller of the United States government say that cryptocurrency could revolution. Recent article, by the way, I read his speech, and he said that cryptocurrency could revolutionize the financial markets. Cryptocurrency is the perfect internet money because you don't have to. It's like credit cards. There's a whole issue with identity theft, and the way that whole system is structured is very archaic. But digital currency, it really, and I don't want to get into another complicated topic like Internet of Things, IoT, but it's going to allow your refrigerator to communicate with your milk that's a third empty that will allow Amazon to deliver a gallon of milk to your house without you having to do anything, and that transaction will be done on the blockchain through digital currency. So just to throw a scenario out there, digital currency is the perfect internet money. It's transparent. It operates so much better, over the internet than traditional money does. And so, I don't know if I answered your question. I went off on a tangent there, but I really believe that all digital currency will do. Number one, and let me step into something huge here. There's like 2 billion people in the world that are on organized financial services. There's 4 billion people that don't have access to organized financial services because they don't. This number one, the traditional financial environment doesn't want to serve them because a lot of them maybe they don't have papers or they don't have residency or they can't comply with Know Your Customer. But digital currency will really help the unbanked come online and be able to transact business around the world. And we've seen lots of incredible articles about the farmers in Nigeria and in Africa where they can actually sell their seed and sell their crops and buy seed and promote their businesses. So it's going to increase the economy. It's going to allow more transactions to take place around the world, which, again, will potentially create more taxable revenue and just a more productive society in general.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is so very different than, the fiat currency that is linked to a government. It's linked to the country. This is so very different. And for people to understand that its value, it increases the more we see value in it. Whereas with fiat currency, the value is linked to the economy of that specific country. You mentioned Greece, perfect example. So it's independent of a country's economy. So I just see that it can, like you said, revolutionize and bring opportunities to some of the third world countries that there's no way those people could have had that opportunity without this.
Yeah, I don't know what the government's mood is on. Technically, I mean, the Federal Reserve in the United States is separate of the United States government. So the Federal Reserve is not owned by the United States government. It provides the money supply for the United States government, and it works directly with Congress on what their budget is and how much money they need to print every year. I think this year they asked for an additional $1 trillion to be printed. For the need of expanding the community, not only here in the United States, but around the world. A lot of people don't realize it, but out of the trillions of dollars that have been printed, only probably about 15 or 20% of it actually remains in the United States. It's distributed all over the world. The amount of capital expansion the United States has created in the last 10 years has been unprecedented. I mean, it's unbelievable. But, if the economy responds to it and taxable revenue is created because of this printing, mass printing of money, it may work out for them. And I have been following one financial expert in general that I really like, a guy named Paul Dietrich, he basically says that we're getting ready to go into an economic boom over the next 20 years, whereas a lot of people can't even see that. But we do have 84 million X and Y generation kids that are starting to grow up and decide that maybe they do need to get a job or they do need to become productive members of society. Not that they haven't been, but not as much as like with the path that the baby boomers chose, where they went straight into business at 25 and started focusing on getting their first houses, and it was just a different type of consumerism mentality. But Bitcoin and digital currency, like I said, all it will do, figure that the U.S. dollar is kind of like a river. These digital currencies will create tributaries. I mean, I don't ever see digital currencies being as big as the U.S. dollar unless the United States government decides to issue an Amerodollar digital currency that's globally accepted, and they decide to create their own digital currency and change the game. Will they do that? I don't know. But, you know, they seem to have the system figured out. But I will say this. Every country that's ever used a fiat currency has gone through a revolution.
Well, you know, Tom, I know we're coming up to the end of the show here, and I want to make sure that anyone that's listening has an opportunity to reach out to you to get a copy of your book, The Seventh Disruption. And so can you tell our listeners how they can get a copy of that, how they can reach out to you, follow you, and if there's anything else you want to leave them with about digital currency?
Well, yeah, number one, we have four things that we tell people to do, and that is if they're really interested in this space, and it really is an exciting space, number one, you got to get educated. I would tell everybody to go to Coindesk.com and subscribe for the free articles that come off of CoinDesk. They're a very reputable news source, and you can actually get really quality information that comes off that. You got to be careful of what you read on the internet, because there's a lot of blogs out there that are just trying to get traffic off of this industry, and they're not reporting accurate stuff. But CoinDesk.com, they're a real good authority. If you're a high-end investor or a hedge fund manager or somebody listening to this, they have really great research reports you can buy as well. I would also tell them, so get educated is our number one thing. Number two, get experienced. Do the transaction. Do your first digital currency transaction. Buy a tenth of a Bitcoin. Buy a fifth of a Bitcoin. Go out and do it. It's not going to hurt you. It's $20, you know, but try it. And you can do that through blockchain.info. That's a great way of getting started. If you want to get into the business, get engaged. You know, definitely say, you know, find out ways you can be involved in it, because right now we are looking for thought leaders, we're looking for experts, we're looking for people that are educators that want to go out and share this information, and then, you know, get wealthy, you know, build a portfolio. My financial advisor said, Tom, take 5% of your assets and do whatever you want with them. If you want to invest them in digital currency, put them in digital currency. So I'm dispersing, you know, my wealth into digital currency and making it part of my portfolio like I did the internet back in the 90s. As far as learning more about the book or requesting it, you can go to coinlifestyle.us, and that will allow you to get a free membership to the Coin Lifestyle, and it'll give you the ebook, my audio book. I did another podcast interview with Jack Mize with Influencers Radio. And certainly I'm going to post this one in there as well, so people can have access to this interview. And, you know, just start taking in the information, read the book, understand that this is a true disruption. It's not going away. It can't be uninvented. And because of its nature, it will become a trillion-dollar industry. And you're just at the right place at the right time. I hope that you see it, and I hope that you become an educator in the space, because we need more people that are passionate about freedom, creating wealth, and ultimately showing people a better way.
Well, Tom, I'll tell you, this has been, time goes so fast. There's so much information. And as I mentioned in the beginning of this show is going to be bringing in all types of experts and authors that have written books on cryptocurrency. And there's so much more that I want to talk to you about. I know we'll be jumping offline and talking to you offline as well. You do such a great job in all the stuff that you do. It surely shows that you are quite the marketer of information. It shows that you do a lot of studying, and it shows that what they might have said in high school surely isn't close to the truth. But I want to touch on one more thing as we wrap up here. There's a lot of videos that you have out there. How can people connect with you that way? I want them to see what it is that you do, because in today's market, if you're not doing a lot of the things that you're doing, you are not going to be able to grow to the top of the ladder. Can you show people how to find you that way?
Yeah, I have a my YouTube channel is Join OneCoin on YouTube, and there's just a lot of educational videos, but really on coinlifestyle.us. In the media link section are all of probably my top videos. And I would tell people, if they want to see a really good educational presentation every night at 8 p.m. Eastern time, if they go to coinlifestyle.info, the first 45 minutes of that, 50 minutes of that presentation is dedicated to a lot of the stuff that we've talked about. So if you need to hear this again and really understand how cryptocurrency works, that first 55 minutes is designed for people that want to become involved in the industry, and it also for people that are interested in becoming miners. Mining is where the real opportunity is right now, and if anything, that's where you want to focus on, because we're the land developers, we're the prospectors, we're the miners that are bringing the money into circulation, and when the masses do find out about it, we're in front of the wave right now. And I was in front of the wave on the internet, and we made a ton of money and had a lot of fun and did a lot of good. And it's going to be the same way with this. We are in front of the wave, and I would say in the next 5 to 8 years, if you don't get on board, you're going to be swimming up the back of the wave. But now is definitely the time to stick your toe in. You don't have to go full body if you don't want to, but stick your toe in and just do your first transaction and give it a chance. And don't listen to Aunt Martha. Listen to billionaires like Richard Branson. Mark Andreessen is the largest investor. He invented the web browser that you may be on the computer right now. He's the largest investor. You got, you know, Eric Schmidt from Google. Tim Draper, Peter Thiel, PayPal. I mean, you have billionaires that know this space, and they're talking about Bitcoin. They're talking about the blockchain. They're investing in it. And all I can tell you, leave you with this note, do what the billionaires do. And the nice thing about this space is you can do what the billionaires do, and you can get into it for $100 if you want to. You don't have to be a billionaire. You can start small, and you can build up big if you want to. And it's a great space to be in. I'm excited about it. I wake up every day just jazzed about going out and educating and showing more people how to use digital currency in their lives.
Well, Tom, once again, thank you so much, man, for taking time out to bring this information to our listeners. Thank you for being a part of the launch of Cryptopreneurs Radio. We will be reaching out to you, as I mentioned, and anything else that we could do to help promote what you're doing, please let us know so we can be a part of that.
Linda and Tony, it's been a real pleasure being online, and I hope your listeners got a lot out of it. And like I said, it's just the beginning of a journey. Think about it like the internet. In the beginning, you didn't understand it, but look where it is today. And Mark Andreessen said 20 years from now, we will be talking about Bitcoin like we're talking about the internet today, and it's just a great space to be in.
Awesome. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time. Folks,
great,
we're up against the clock. We got about 90 seconds left, and Linda, you know, it is really awesome that we have this opportunity to use the internet, the thing that people were so against 20-some years ago, to do what we're doing today, educate, learn, meet some awesome people, and have the opportunity to do this without even putting our shoes on from our own computer.
And, you know,
or
Tony,
or
I've got I hope that the listeners took as many notes as I did, and I'm certainly going to listen to the show again because I couldn't write fast enough, because there's so much information out there, and it takes a while to absorb it. So, folks, if you felt a little overwhelmed by some of the information you got today, it's okay. You know, just learn a little bit at a time, and before you know it, just like Tony was saying, you'll be an expert at it, or you'll know more than the guy sitting next to you for sure.
Well, as I mentioned, we're up against the clock. We went a little bit long. I was having way too much fun listening. So thanks for everyone tuning in. If you missed it, you can catch it up on Tough Talk Radio Network, Crypto Radio, or CryptoPreneursRadio.com, or hit us on Facebook, and you can get the link to it. Or email me, Tony at Tony Gambone. That's our show for today. We'll see you next Wednesday, 9 a.m. Central Time. Mm-hmm.